Chapter 16, this is the one where they get to Europe for the first time. As they come back, Paul and Silas, to the places that Paul had been previously with Barnabas, they come to Derbe and Lystra, and at Lystra, they pick up Timothy. Now, Timothy, apparently, was from a pious family, as we see from Paul's letters to Timothy, but Timothy was the son of a Jewish woman and a Gentile man. Now, when you are in that kind of a mixed marriage, it's the mother who determines your race, because you always know who the mother is. You're not always sure who the father is. So the Jews had this very simple rule that obviously he is Jewish because he is a son of a Jewish woman. And so because he is Jewish, even though he has a Gentile father, Paul has him circumcised. And that would be important for the future as they would be preaching in synagogues. And in synagogues, they probably would not get a hearing if one of these apostolic leaders were uncircumcised. Why? Because of the sensitivity of the Jews who still are very concerned about that kind of thing. So he is circumcised. Now this differs dramatically from what we see in Galatians. When we get to that on Tuesday, I'll explain to you why Titus was not circumcised. Okay? That's another story. Here Timothy is. Now, after they revisit the old places on the mainland, you notice how from verse 6 to 10, it's the Holy Spirit who sets the agenda, and it's very, very interesting. Jay?
How would they have known? I mean, would they have actually checked before they gave him a hearing?
Well, you know, word gets around pretty quickly. And, you know, in the public restrooms, they were not as private as our public restrooms. So they would have found it out very quickly. Okay? I know. You shake your head. It's a different world today. All right. Thank you. It comes up every time I teach this class. Okay. Verses 6 to 10. Shows that they're kind of wondering. It's the Holy Spirit who's leading us, but let's go to Asia. The Spirit says, no. Then they want to go to Bithynia, which is on the Black Sea, way up to the north, and the Spirit says, no. It doesn't allow them. So they finally get to Troas, which is on the western shore, Troas. And it is there that Paul has a vision in the night. It is a man of Macedonia who appears to him in the vision. Come over and help us. They go to Macedonia. And we concluded, we, plural, this is now the first we section, so Luke is reciting a personal experience here. God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Obviously, in Europe. This is a big breakthrough. This is the beginning of the story of how the West was won as they crossed over into Europe. There have been some who have conjectured that perhaps Luke was that man of Macedonia who gave the vision. We can't prove it. We can't disprove it. But it's certain that we have a we section here which suggests that Luke was a part of the group that went along to Macedonia. There are some who suggest that Luke may have originated from Philippi because he seems to spend a lot of time there, and later when the we sections continue, after, you know, he seems to stop out at Philippi for a while, and later they pick him up again at Philippi, that maybe he spent some time there while Paul went on, and then he rejoins the group. Be that as it may, others have suggested he may be from Antioch, but we don't know that for sure. Anyway, he has this vision. Man from Macedonia in the vision, come over and help us, and they go. They come first to, after they hit all these seaport places, you don't have to worry about them, they come to a colony of Rome at Philippi. Why is it a colony of Rome? Well, you know, in times past, the Romans had fought many wars, and one of the ways of rewarding their retired soldiers was to give them land when they returned. And eventually, the good parcels in Italy were used up, and so they sent them to other countries like the Greece And here at Philippi, they had a colony where they had some of these retired soldiers. And later, when he writes to the Philippians, Paul says that you are a colony of heaven. He draws upon that picture of that Roman colony that was here. And, well, apparently there weren't a lot of Jews in this place because there is no synagogue. So where is he going to preach? Down by the riverside. He goes to the riverside. And there he, at a place of prayer, meets some people. The most famous of these is Lydia, a woman from the city of Thyatira, which is one of the seven churches of Asia that John writes to in the Apocalypse. Lydia meets them, and she was baptized by Paul, her whole household likewise. Remember Lydia, she's a special woman. And she invites them to come and stay at their house. Now, for a traveling group of itinerant preachers, missionaries, they don't have a lot of money, so this must have been a very sizable gift to them to be able to stay as long as they were there at Philippi. Now, again, as in most places, Paul doesn't have the chance to stay very long because of persecution. And this comes about because of a slave girl. She has some kind of a special spirit which her owners are able to capitalize on by her ability to soothsay. You might say she's a fortune teller kind of a gal, and they take advantage and they make money off of her. And when Paul rebukes her spirit, of course, these guys who are pimping her resources are out of money, okay? And they're very mad. And so their hope of gain is gone, verse 19 says, and they drag them to the marketplaces, and they get the magistrates of the city agitated to the point where they beat them up royally, bruise them terribly, and put them into prison. And the magistrates here, these public officials, come off looking very shabby in this episode. Roman rule wasn't exercised too responsibly at this place. That's rather unusual. But eventually they do shape up when they have to. So they're put in prison. And here we have the episode of the jailer of Philippi. Now you'll notice that they were put in the inner part of the prison to make sure they don't get away, because the magistrates really had it in for them. And at midnight is an earthquake. An earthquake, once again. God uses it for his purposes, just as we had in the Gospels. And their chains are broken loose, and the jailer is about to kill himself. And Paul and Barnabas, meanwhile, are singing songs. Got the Lutheran hymn book with them. Maybe not, I'm not sure. Anyway, they know him from memory, and they sing, and the jailer about to kill himself. Paul says, don't. And the jailer is so impressed, he releases them, and he takes them to his house. And what must I do to be saved? And the telling response, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved in your house. And his household is baptized. Well, first of all, he washes their wounds. Paul and Silas' wounds are washed. And then Paul washes them in the waters of holy baptism. And they rejoice as they come to faith. And apparently, the police get word of this. The magistrates get word of this. The police are sent to release them. They must be good guys after all. And Paul says, no way. You're not going to get rid of us this easy. Why does he demand a public apology, do you think? They were publicly abused. Why does Paul insist on an apology from the magistrates? Well, very simple. That the cause of the gospel not be blamed. They were innocent of any wrongdoing. They were beaten despite the fact that Paul was a Roman citizen, and the magistrates were quite happy to get off that easily after breaking Roman law the way they did. And they do apologize, and they tell them to get moving, get out of the city, please. And they do. But not until they say goodbye to everybody, including Lydia and the brothers, and then they leave. So they go on their own terms. Okay, please, sir.
Quick question. Earlier when you mentioned Timothy, he had a Jewish mother and a a Roman father, a Greek father.
Yeah.
Paul's the same way, right? Is that true? Paul has a Jewish mother and a Greek father.
I don't know that. Where did you pick that up?
Well, I mean, part of it comes here where it says they're Roman citizens.
Oh, okay.
But also, obviously, Paul was raised, you know, with the Jewish law in mind and all that stuff.
He was a Roman citizen, and as he does explain in chapter 23, when he gets roughed up, or, well, around that time, 21, 22, 23, where he gets roughed up in Jerusalem, he says that he was a Roman citizen, and then they quickly, you know, decide that they're going to treat him more kindly. Perhaps that's what you're alluding to, that because of his Roman citizenship, he should be treated properly. It could have been bought, but apparently it costs a lot of money. One of the people who talks to Paul to buy citizenship, but apparently Paul had it for a long time through his family. I don't know exactly how he had it, but maybe you're right. I just don't know.
I was just curious. I wasn't sure. I guess I was curious about the background and how. I mean, we're all, you know, was everybody Roman citizen?
No. It was a rare thing for somebody who was not a Roman to have Roman citizenship. It could be bought, or it could be granted for some very, very noble deed. And I don't at the moment recall exactly how Paul got it, but it had been in his family for some time, apparently, from this Acts 21 to 23 section. We'll have to look at that again before I say anything more about it. But he'd had it. And why? I don't know that it had anything to do with his physical parentage or anything like that.
Okay, but for Timothy, since we do know that, like it specifically says, that he had a Greek father, would that automatically grant him Roman citizenship? Or would it still fall under the mother rule, so he's Jewish and he would have had to get his Roman citizenship?
That question never really is addressed in the book of Acts, but Paul's question is addressed. He several times invokes his Roman citizenship and gets treatment that is deserved by a Roman citizen. Whether Timothy was or wasn't, I don't think that was ever mentioned there. But being in Paul's company, I think that Paul would get carte blanche treatment because he was leader of the group, and those in his company would benefit from the same. Yeah, we don't really have all the answers on some of those questions, but they're good questions, and please keep asking them.
On the question of Luke, I mean, it starts, you know, in this chapter, verse 10, where Luke has arrived, the we. But yet, you know, it starts off in verse 16 saying, we were going to the place of prayer, and the slave girl was following us, and then all of a sudden, Luke's out of the picture again.
Yeah.
Did he just, I mean...
Yeah.
Could we assume that he might have still been in town because he was documenting all this, or...
See, this is what's commonly believed, that Luke probably stayed in Philippi then, and then that later, when Paul comes back to Philippi again, the we sections resume. I think this is in chapter 20, where the we sections resume as he's on his way back and goes across to Troas, where he has that all along, this long, long sermon at night until midnight, you know. So the we sections return at that time. So that's the opinion of a lot of interpreters.
Would it be maybe possible to also maybe assume that Luke might have gone and talked to the magistrates on Paul and Silas's behalf after the beating? Since he was there and it seems that he stayed around there, that he might have spoke on their behalf as well? I know that's a big assumption and there's no biblical fact for it, but...
Well, the text of Acts does speak to this particular question, and when the jailer reports the words of the police to Paul that he is free to go, Paul says, no, they've beaten us publicly, uncondemned, we're Roman citizens, they've thrown us into prison, and they can't let us go secretly now, we expect an apology. So apparently Paul is having this conversation with the jailer, and the jailer by this time, of course, has been brought to the faith by Paul and probably was instrumental in releasing Paul from prison and getting somehow somebody getting the word Maybe the jailer or perhaps somebody else. Who knows? Your theory is as good as mine. But the word came back. Now, it could be that Luke was instrumental. I don't know. It doesn't say.